fueling, loading, patrolling, racing, sailing.
Today we're on water.
On all kinds of boats. I drive in the fast lane. See how these boats are built for speed. I sail a pirate ship. It can be a punishing experience. When there's trouble, the police are on the water.
Man overboard!
I do a tour of duty with a Coast Guard cutter. Ah, thank you. Thank you very much, my good man. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
It's Storm Stoyles of the Pokemon Mechanical!
I'm Jay.
Welcome to PMK on water.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wish I could spend the whole show hanging out on this boat. You know, Jay could serve me all day as we cruise through the exotic islands.
Only in your dreams. Besides, it'd be a pretty boring show. It wouldn't be fair to the viewers.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
We have to be active, so when do we start?
Well, not now. There's something good on TV.
But you always watch TV.
Never on a yacht before.
Guess that's not gonna work.
Maybe veteran powerboat racer Patrick Gleason will give me a ride.
So how about it, Jay? You think you might want to take a raceboat out for a ride?
I think so.
It may look like they're from outer space, but they're actually boats. Lightweight with special shapes. That's what gives them speed. Patrick got me to gas it up.
Green.
That's the oil inside that makes it look like that. Don't forget your drain plugs.
Forget to put those in and the boat would sink. These boats move 85 miles an hour or 130 in kilometers. It's not just the engine that makes a boat go fast. It's the design of the hull. There are two different hull shapes. The first is called a displacement hull. It pushes the water aside. The other is the hydro hull. It's designed to float on air. Since there's little friction from the water, this kind goes the fastest. It has a raised flat bottom. And see those things on the side? They're called sponsons.
Your sponsons serve two purposes on the boat. They give you the lift in the straightaway, and they also, when you come to the corner, bring the boat down and give you a turning surface, like runners on a sled, to get you around the corner. So it's a very fine balance between aerodynamic pressure and hydrodynamic pressure.
That's water pressure and air pressure. Junior racer Kyle Bach knows about that fine balance.
If you catch too much air, it could barrel roll like that, or you could just spin out, or it could go like that.
The helmets have to be orange for the safety rules.
That made me think I should ask a few questions about safety equipment.
The throttle springs back, so if you let go of it, the engine will die.
And there's a kill switch attached to you. If you fall out of the boat, the engine stops. Even with all that, they make you wear a Kevlar suit. The same stuff bulletproof vests are made of. That'll help keep the prop from chopping you up if it strikes you. And, of course, everyone wears helmets and life vests.
Now I'm ready to save the world.
Go ahead and step right in towards the middle.
Goodness, where does this go?
On the life jacket.
Okay.
Okay?
So I go that way.
Okay. Go that way and go around that corner and you'll see how the course lays out.
All right, I'll try anyways.
Okay. The boat they let me try is junior class. It goes half the speed of an adult class boat. All you just ride in there, you think you're going pretty fast, and boom, you start riding on like this, feel like you're gliding on top of air, and you just go in there and you get this feeling, your heart starts pounding. It was freaky, but I enjoyed it.
Where it is difficult or dangerous for boats to travel. Because of rapids or waterfalls, canals and locks are used. Locks make it safe for boats to get from one level of water to another. To get to the lower level, the boat enters the lock. The filling valve closes and the emptying valve opens. As the water runs out, because of gravity, the water in the lock becomes equal to the lower water level. To go up, the filling valve is open and the emptying valve is closed. The lock fills with water, again, because of gravity. When the water level in the lock matches the higher elevation, the boat exits, allowing the boat safe passage from one level to another.
A massive freighter has just come into port. Todd Bush is on another mission in his tugboat.
When a big container ship like this comes into the port, it can't drive itself right to the dock. It doesn't have the control, so the tugboat will come out and assist this ship to the dock. Okay, we'll throw a couple more wraps on the drum here and tighten it up and hold the tug to the ship.
Pulling such a heavy boat creates a lot of tension in the lines.
You know, those lines can snap under too much pressure. If you're anywhere near that line, when it comes back and hits you, it'll hurt you very bad.
Todd hasn't been badly hurt on the job, but he did have two fingertips taken off.
So it's a very dangerous business, and you need to be very careful.
A tugboat like this may look really small compared to this mothership, but don't be fooled by its small build. It's got a lot of muscle.
You can see the ship we're pushing on right now is about 7 times larger than this tugboat, so we need to have a lot of horsepower to move it. The two engines in here are very large engines, and they produce about 2,500 horsepower each. You can imagine your average automobile is 150 horsepower. It'd take a whole lot of cars to move this ship to the dock.
The tugs have to nudge here, push there, and pull a little here. They have to park the huge ship at the dock. The tugs need to get the boat perfectly into place. Heads up, line overboard. Now she's tied up, safe and sound. Don't want this giant to float away. Todd's off to another mission, and he's still got 8 fingertips left.
Give me 1 second to make sure this sucker doesn't float off. I learned the hard way that if you don't tie your boat properly, you're in for a heap of trouble.
My boat.
Yep, the best knots around are a fisherman's secret. And I'm gonna show you how. Let's go. I can fix that. What we need to do is make a knot that will grip tightly and stay tied on its own. Obviously, the owner of this bag doesn't know how to make a constrictor knot, also known as a stay-shut knot.
Hey, it's your bag, Charlie.
Who asked you? Let's close this the right way. The constrictor grips like a boa constrictor. That's how it got its name. The constrictor is such a strong knot that to untie it, you sometimes have to cut it. So, don't use this on your little brother. One of the coolest things about knots is that they can be incredibly tight, but still easy to undo. Like the bowline, I use it to secure my boat's painter to the docking. And this is how you do it. Make a loop. We'll call this the rabbit hole. The rabbit comes up through the hole, around the tree, and back down the hole. Then pull it. This knot is so reliable, they use it in daring rescues all the time. I'd fallen into a deep ravine. They tossed me a line. I take the rope, wrap it around myself, make the knot, around, coming in. There we go, that should hold. Let's see. And voila, I'm saved. Here we go. Coming up. Help! Now, when you want to tie two pieces of rope together to secure something, you can use what's called a reef knot. Here, let me show you how it's done. It's right over left and under, and then left over right and under. See there? Now here, hold this, because I want to show you how strong it is. Ready? Pull, 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 pull. Oops. Now, you might not realize it, but you're already a pro at tying this knot. We use it every day of our lives without even thinking about it. Yep. It's the same knot we use to tie our shoelaces. The only difference is, by tying the bows, it turns the reef knot into a slippery reef knot to give it that quick release. For a boating man, the main thing about a good solid knot is that he can sleep well at night knowing his boat is not going to float away. Of course, he may have to worry about the dock! Right? The dock, help! Somebody, come back!
Pirates sailed ships like this. It's a brigantine tall ship. It was popular in the 1700s for its speed.
Hi, Alicia. Welcome aboard.
Hi.
Nice pirate rig you got there, but I think you're probably find a little bit more comfortable if you slip into this.
Anybody have it?
I'm joining these people. They've come from all over North America for a week of sail training camp and have been on these waters for the past 5 days. They say teamwork builds character.
You missed a spot.
And today I get a crash course in it.
Hands to stations for setting the mainsail.
Aye! Hands to stations for setting the mainsail.
Two, six.
Hey, Alicia, do you want to come and give us a hand setting the main?
Yes, sure. So what are we doing?
We're going to sweat and sway. We go back, down, and in. Ready? Two, six. We're setting the main because the main is our main engine. The wind fills the sail, and that drives the ship forward.
It gets harder as we go.
Definitely, you need more oomph into it.
Oh, you ready on the throat, Helen?
Aye, oh, ready on the throat, Helen.
Now I know why they call it sweating.
Are you ready about?
Aye, ready about.
Back the jib. Heave away those braces, heave away.
So, Alicia, we're going to tack.
What is tacking?
Tacking is when the wind moves across the bow of the ship and the ship turns in the total opposite direction and all the sails move on to the other side of the ship.
So how do you know when to tack?
When you need a major course change.
To turn the whole boat around.
Right.
On over, come on, pull. Heave it over. That's it, heave it over.
Sails that are above you there catch the wind.
Okay.
Okay, and they drive the ship along through the water.
Well, right now it seems pretty easy to steer, but does the wheel get ever, like, pretty tough?
Oh, yeah. We have times where we have two or three crew members on the helm, otherwise it'll throw you right off. One of the things that we do with all the crew aboard the ship on their first day is have them walk the plank.
You didn't really think I would jump, did you?
Thanks, guys! Have a good
one! This is a sailboat, and this is a race. Water slows down boats when it drags against the hull. That's a drag. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to test a hull prototype for speed. First, you need a traction basin and some water motion specialists. Then you need a scale model of a hull. Attach the hull to the moving platform. Make that hull move just like at sea, a whole bunch of angles. Use sensors to tell you how easily the hull slices through the water. Use wool strands to see how water flows. Add it all up on computers, and when you're finished testing, tell me how many milliseconds you've gained.
Are you stuck? Call Muckbusters, otherwise known as a dredger. This giant tool is like a housekeeper for boats. It keeps port entrances and water channels clean by digging up sand that drifts there. Now, that's major housekeeping.
A huge port is all about one thing: moving the goods. Ships transport millions of tons of cargo between cities. Containers come in and containers go out. And it takes massive equipment. And guys like Don.
Hi, my name is Don.
And Darren.
Hi, my name is Darren.
And Chuck.
Hi, I'm Chuck.
To move it all. Cargo moves around the world in containers to make it easier to handle. Everything is in the same size box.
It could be just about anything in these containers.
Like basketballs, piggy banks, TV sets, or almost
anything.
Getting these containers on or off a boat takes a giant crane. How's it work, Don?
This is a 50-long ton container crane, and what it does, it can pick up 20 or 40-foot containers weighing up to 50 long tons or 112,000 pounds and put it on a ship. We'll take it off the ship and put it on a chassis so it can be driven away on the roads.
The port is like a huge puzzle. Darren moves the pieces around and gets them to the right places.
And the pickup looks like a 40-foot container. You hear it click in and everything looks good. And now we're all ready to go.
Darren brings his container over for a quick handoff to Chuck. Chuck operates a top pick, which he uses to put a container on or take it off a truck.
Well, basically, I just line up the container. These things are real powerful. They can pick up a cement truck.
Trucks take these containers of stuff to wherever they need to go. Hey, stop watching TV for a second. Look around the room you're sitting in. Stuff you own was once in containers like these. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Darren. And thank you, Chuck.
Sometimes on the water there's accidents, and sometimes people use boats to get away with crimes. That's why in most countries there's a Coast Guard. You know, kind of like a police on the water. Are you ready? Hit it. Jiggles on a Coast Guard cutter. It's an exciting job. Jay, hurry up, you're getting late.
I'm coming!
Come on, Jay, let's go.
Come on.
Right, ready to go. We gotta get out of here.
Okay, let's go.
If you're in a big city by the ocean, then you've got a Coast Guard. They spend a lot of time on the water, but these guys aren't on any pleasure cruise.
This boat works all kinds of missions. Search and rescue, firefighting, law enforcement, pollution investigation, fishery patrols, harbor patrols, and safety checks. Lots of stuff. Wonder what we're gonna do first.
Ah! Man overboard, port side! Man overboard! Somebody could fall from their own boat or another. They give themselves 3 minutes to pull someone out of water this cold. Hypothermia sets in quickly, and the guy could drown. This is a rope coiled up in a bag. You throw it out to the person and get them to hang on. In smooth waters like this, Jack and his guys can rescue someone twice as fast as they could if the weather was bad.
It's okay, mild hypothermia!
With our man on board, we continue on our way. Until...
We need to rig up for firefighting.
All
right, Jay, let's get this hose going.
This is the firefighting part of their mission. We're going to use that platform as a target.
We're going to put it on full screen. All right. It can shoot about 133 feet at full screen.
Well, I've only used the garden hose. This thing pumps out water at a rate of 250 gallons a minute. Enough water to, well, enough water to sink a boat.
A lot of water. We gotta be real careful when we're fighting fires on boats, because if we pump in too much water for the fire out, the boat will sink.
If things get too crazy with burning boats and people overboard, then reinforcements are called in.
This is a search and rescue part of their mission.
They can pull people from the water straight to the chopper. Or, with the help of someone on a boat, they can lower a basket and put the person inside. Finally, for the day, boarding a vessel. There's our target. These guys will chase down and pull up to any boat they need to. It could be a routine inspection or a trap to catch drug smugglers. In this case, they just wanted to give the girls ice cream coupons for wearing their life jackets. A good way to end the day.
Well, thanks a lot. I learned a heck of a lot. And one more thing, if you ever need my services, don't be afraid to call, eh?
Not a problem, Jay. You can serve on our crew anytime.
Hey, thank you very much.
You need a lot more than a steering wheel to get where you want to go on a boat. Here's a small list of navigation options.
Satellites, charts, maps, clocks, computer, stars, voltage, satellites, charts, maps, clocks, stars, voids, and interval navigation.
And used to come.
Used to come. Tables of inclination, lighthouse, navigation lights, white ones, green ones, red ones, magnetic lights, gyroscopic compass, beacons, landmarks, radar, magnetic.
Now you're getting places.
Well, that's all the time we have.
Which is good for me, because spending the entire show on water is making me feel a little, seasick.
Well, that's because of all the bobbing up and down. We have liquid in our inner ear, and that's what keeps us balanced. But it's slushing all around.
Can I stop now?
Yep, show's over.
Amazing. I feel better already.
Mm-hmm.